Singer. I mean, a few times at work, I'll be stressed out, and I call and say, "Would you sing to me?" Great to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that God is here, and I'm glad that God is big enough. And the thought that I have this morning that I want to share with you has come on my heart and mind. It's got a lot to do with some of the things that have been said today. You know, there's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot going on in America. There's a lot going on with COVID. There's a lot going on with inflation. There's a lot going on with leaders giving speeches and reading the lines of where they're supposed to pause. And it makes you wonder, what's going to happen next? What does the future hold for America? What does the future hold for us? And it troubles me as I have heard some comments of some people, particularly young people, that have made the comment that they didn't think there would be a lot of future for them. And it really brought this scripture to my heart and mind, and what I want to preach on this morning is this statement or this subject, why the future is bright. Now we know sometimes when we preach, we talk about the world and we talk about the world getting worse. And we know in Atlanta, they talk about the crime problem. And I heard them on the radio this week. Then one of them was making a speech and he said, "We only have 1,750 officers and we need 750 more." And we watch the issues that surround the rioting and how they're allowed to do it. And is it any wonder that we have a crime problem? And we see all these things and we hear all these things, and it gets to the point that maybe sometimes there is a feeling of despair. What's going to happen next? But God has really been dealing with my heart and with my mind. And I told somebody earlier, I dreamed about church all night last night. I was laying in the bed and I went to four different churches, and God gave me some thoughts and he gave me some visions, and I woke up with scripture on my mind, and I went in after I got ready for church and I sat down to read it, and God began to show me and help me to understand more today than ever that the church just needs to be the church that it's supposed to be. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, why the future is bright, and I'm going right back to the Word of God, which is our resource and our source. And I'm going back to the very first book, the book of Genesis, chapter number 9. And then we're going to go from there to the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to read in chapter number 4. But I want to read the scripture in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 13 through 17 about the rainbow. And I want to remind you, in case you don't know it, don't let what the world has done to the rainbow cause you not to want to look at it. Okay? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get offended by what I see done with a rainbow. The rainbow belongs to God. And the rainbow was a sign that God gave that the world would not be destroyed by a flood again. He didn't say it wouldn't be destroyed, but not by a flood. It represents the promises of God. In Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 13, it says this, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may can remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God had said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Now I want to flip over to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and read the first four verses. And it says this, it says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, what I want to share with you this morning about why the future is bright is I want you to consider the promises of God. Because when God says something and He makes a promise, the Bible tells us that we have a God that cannot lie. His promises are immutable. That means that they cannot change. And, you know, what is a promise? Here's the noun version of that. It says an engagement to do or not to do something, ground for expectation of good things in the future. It implies a binding agreement carrying certain definite obligations. A promise at a verb, it affords hopes to give grounds for expecting much. You know, when we think of the promises of God and we think what God has said to us, and here's what I want us to understand. There have been times in the United States, if we look at just within the past 50 years, that we've had questions. People wonder what's going to happen, what's going to happen next. I can remember times being just a boy during the Jimmy Carter days when inflation was double digit, and you would have to wait in lines at the gas station because they were rationing gas. And you know, we look back on those days and we wonder how in the world are we ever going to get through those days. You go back just a little farther and you go into the 60s and the things that were happening in the United States during that time, the Vietnam War era, the era when people were putting themselves out on display, and it was the peace era and there was free love and all the things going on in the world. And you know what preachers were preaching? They were preaching it's the end and the end is today. Heard it mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, someone was reading the book 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 1988. Now, we know the Lord didn't come back in 1988. The Lord did not come back when the Mayan calendar stopped. But one thing it does do for us as Christians, when we pay attention to the things that are going on in the world, whether it be the great inflation of the 70s, whether it be the Vietnam War era, whether it be the things that have happened since, as we hear preachers preaching that Jesus is coming back, or the end of the Mayan calendar, or the Cold War, or the war in the Gulf, or what's going on in Afghanistan, all it should do for Christians is cause us to keep looking up and trying to make sure that we're where we're supposed to be in our relationship with God. But one thing that we know for sure is the promises of God don't change. If you go back just a little beyond that, there was a time in this country during the World War I and the World War II era when people were praying, seeking God to the extent that the doors of the churches were left open. I've heard the stories. You know, very few people even left from that era. But during that time, people were crying out to God. Now, folks, it wasn't just a gas shortage. It was a tire shortage. It was a sugar shortage. It was when you would go to the store to buy things. You know, we get a little concerned today because the prices at Kroger have gone up between 5 and 15%. It's not the first time. Okay? What the devil wants you to believe is that God has lost His power, that God is not in control, and you have no future because what's going on in the world today. That's a lie. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for your life. God is still in control. God has not lost His power. He still has the power to save. And if you want to serve God, and if you want to hire a First Baptist Church to go forward for the honor and glory of God, just be obedient and do what God says. Because God is looking for a place that He can pour Himself out. And I believe with all of my heart that people who are looking for God are going to be looking for a church like this. They're going to be looking for a church where the gospel is preached in its power, where it's not compromised with the world. Can I tell you, we don't have to compromise. We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to change to be like the world to be successful. Because if we have any success at all, it's going to come from God. Amen. Now, I want to tell you why I believe the future is bright. I believe the future is bright because I still believe that God has a plan. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of times our youth use this verse. It says this. It says, Jeremiah wrote this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Then I used this verse recently. This is Philippians 1:6. It said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And here's what I want you to see and get from the Word of God today. It's that God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for this church. But God has a plan for the church. Okay? Now I'm talking about the saved Christians today. And there are saved, born-again Christians all over this country that are looking for God. I told you the story before. I used to have to go once a year to California for a business meeting, and we would go to Laguna Beach. I'm talking about one of the most liberal, in my mind, in my opinion, one of the most liberal places in the world. And I had to go over there, and, you know, I got to one time take my wife along with me, which was a blessing. And I remember being over there, and I was complaining about how liberal it was, and I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like the storefronts. I didn't like the people. I didn't like being there. And I said, God has left California. And we had been eating at these places, and we had been eating all this fancy food. And she said, "I just wish we could get a hamburger." And there was a place down the road about a quarter of a mile across the street. We crossed the road, walked down the side, got down there. It was like a one of these Red's Diner. You know, you go in and they got the old cars and you get your milkshake and your hamburger and your fries. And we sat down there at a booth in those red benches. Right over here across from us was a mother with two children. And I'm sitting here, and I'm already, you know, just thinking about, I can't wait to get back on that airplane and get back to Georgia, get back to the Bible Belt. And I'm sitting there with my wife, and all of a sudden I see this mother have prayer with her children. I see her start to minister to them. She's talking about Jesus to them. And the whole time she's sitting there, and God speaks up to me, and he says, "I've not abandoned California. I've not abandoned America. I have left myself a remnant in every place, and there are people that are going to be looking for me in every place until I return to get my children." What the devil wants you to believe is that things are out of control and the devil caused coronavirus, and he's going to destroy the church, and we're not going to go forward. That's a lie. I was standing in my office 2 weeks ago, and I may have told you this story. If I did, I apologize, but it's pertinent right here. I have a man that I work with. He's from Liberia, and he walks by my office, and he has on something similar to what some of you ladies wear. I call it a smock. And I looked at it, and it looked odd to me because I wouldn't wear that, but I knew what it meant. It was something from his country. And I stopped him and I said, "Explain to me what you've got on, what that is." And he began to tell me that where he's from, in his village, that the elders of the village have to vote to give you that garment for you to be able to wear it. And he told me why they gave it to him. They gave it to him because he came to the United States to work, to get a job. And he works in the engineering department, the drafting department down where I work. And he said, "I am part of the ministry to the people." He said, "I send money back." And he said, "And every time that I get to go back, I go and minister to my people." And he said, "I am also part of a ministry here," he told me, "the church." And I couldn't be honest. I'm just going to be honest with you. Half of what the gentleman said, I couldn't even understand him. His speech was that broken in English.
But I got enough to understand that he believed in God, that he served God, that he served God here and being here and working here and being able to have money because he worked here allowed him to send money back home to his family. Not only that, but to help people here. And he told me, he said, this is the greatest country in the world. He said, I could not go anywhere and have the opportunities that I have here. You know, the devil wants you to believe that nothing is out there for you. That's a lie. My son, Matthew, hears from me often. I say, son, you got to go to school. Son, you got to do right. Son, you got to be something special in America today, because as a white male Christian, you are the minority. And we believe and know that that's true. And he's heard it from me so many times. Last time I told him, here's what he did. He said, Dad, stop. He said, I've learned that all you really got to be is willing to work. Amen. And I said, son, I think you got it. Do you know that's where we're at in America today? Amen. God's not dead. God's not lost his power. People are not looking for God. People do not believe that God has the power. I want to tell you something. God has a plan. He still has a plan. And if you're one of his children, he still has a plan for you. And he still has a plan for the church. Do y'all know that God is still in the saving business? God still saves people. Do y'all know that the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open? But when you have a burden, you can put it on the prayer chain. Do you know that God still answers prayer? You know that God still has a plan for the church? God's coming back. It's the tide, not the water. I'm going to have to take this thing off. God's still coming back. And until the Lord comes back, he's not going to abandon his church. He's not going to abandon his people. He's not going to abandon you. You see, he has a plan. And here's what I want you to understand about God's plan. God's timing is perfect. If you and I were to try to figure it out, we would have thought the Lord's coming back in World War II, right? No, the Lord's coming back during the Vietnam era. He's coming back during the 60s. No, the Lord's coming back during the 70s. No, the Lord's coming back during the 80s. In fact, what did Mr. Wisen, whatever, said? It was 1988. No, the Lord's coming back, they said, at the end of the Mayan calendar. You remember a couple of years ago when the constellations were aligned perfect? And preachers were preaching and they were saying it happened, hasn't happened this way in so many, many years. And because the constellations are aligned this way according to what the scripture says, the Lord's going to come back. Something's going to happen. Can I tell you, the Bible says that no man knows the day. God knows the day. And what God is doing right now, what the Holy Spirit is doing right now, is interceding on your behalf as a child of God to help you be able to be salt and light in the midst of this world, as it's been said, for such a time as this. You see, God's timing is perfect. When Jesus came, it was a perfect time. Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here's what I want you to get, the first part of that verse. When the fullness of time was come. You see what God did for Jesus to come into the world to fulfill the scripture. Everything was aligned perfectly. The Greek language, which is rich, was fluent among the land. There were Roman roads, there were structure. The gospel was carried to all of these different cities, and these different churches lined up just like the Bible says in the book of Revelation. God's timing was perfect. Can I tell you that when God does return, his timing is going to be perfect? And what God can do for you as an individual, and you say, well, it just seems like that Christianity is, you know, it's being pushed, it's oppressed, but it doesn't mean, it's not because God's changed. And it's not because God is not able to meet your needs, okay? God is able to meet your needs right where you're at. And what I look for and what I ask for is not that this world would supply my need, not that this world would favor me, but that God would put His hand on my life, on your life. Do you pray for your children? You ever thought about how in the world are my children going to find somebody that'll serve God and live for God in this day and time over there at that school they go to? I'll tell you how. You pray for them, God will send them together. Because somewhere right now across town, there might be another parent praying the same prayer. God, would you send exactly the right one that would come and be the one for my heart and my life? God knows what you need. He knows where you need to work. He knows where you need to live. He knows the needs of your heart and your life. And what you need to do is realize that He's not changed. He has a plan and His time is perfect. And also that He can't lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says this. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I want to flip over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, and just read a couple of verses. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Remember the story when Abraham was there and God cut covenant and he put Abraham to sleep. And because Abraham was not able in himself, it was a picture and a type of Christ. God walked through. Doesn't the scripture say that yet if we believe not, he still remains faithful, he cannot deny himself? Here's what I want you to understand. God's purpose is going to be fulfilled with us or without us. But are we going to walk with him and trust him? Because it's going to happen. It's just like Mordecai told Esther, God's going to deliver his people. And if you don't follow him, deliverance will rise from another place. You see, God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and for an oath confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show thee heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, but that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, folks, we have hope. We have hope. Those without God are the ones who have no hope. That's why the scripture says, speaking of death, says that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Why? Because we have hope in Christ. It is amazing to me how people can go through life and get to the end and not be able to say, I know that I have hope of eternal life, that I'll see my loved ones again. You see, God cannot lie. God cannot fail. You know, I want us to understand something, and I mentioned it. The scripture in 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God's promises are going to come to pass. God's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he is no equal. He has no one that is like him. He is the creator of all things. The scripture says, by him all things exist. You and I have limitations. But as I stand here before you today, the reason I believe that the future is bright is there ain't nobody going to beat him. Y'all remember on the playground when you was kids, I can remember some of this, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy can beat your daddy. You know, I've been around people who have been involved with witchcraft. I've told you the story before. Lady I worked with made a voodoo doll of me. Had it in her desk drawer with pins stuck in it. I walked in there and she wanted to show me that thing. I just looked at it. I wasn't feeling any pain, by the way. Sometimes the way my elbows and knees fell, I wonder if she still got it. I'm just kidding about that. But I remember walking in there And she had that thing, and there was some evil there. And I just looked at her, and I quoted a couple of verses of Scripture. And I said, you know, there's only two powers. And the lesser power was actually created by the greater power. Amen. All things were created by Him. Amen. Even the evil, for the wicked, for the day of evil, the Bible says that. And I said, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. I want you to understand something, Christians. You are not on the winning side. You do not have to be ashamed. You do not have to be sorry. You do not have to play second fiddle to anybody. And if somebody doesn't want what you've got, you can love them. You can be good to them. But shake the dust off of your feet and go find somebody that's interested in the things of God. Because God cannot fail. And God's got what's going on today. And God is going to take care of His children. I can tell y'all, young people, I wish I could hire every one of you. We got 25 openings. And what He said is you just got to be willing to work. That's a lot of truth in that. What the devil wants you to believe is there ain't nothing for you. You're not going to make it. There's nothing out there. That's a lie. Because if you are like Jabez and you pray, oh God, and he prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and that thine hand might be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. And the Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. You see, the problem and the reason we sometimes lose hope and we have despair is we look at this world and we're trusting in this world. You're not going to get what you need from this world. You're going to get it from walking with God. Amen. And from trusting God. I'm going to give you just a quick example, and then we're going to ask him to play the song, He Touched Me. I remember one time hearing a story of a school. And it was a school that was two-story and it had caught fire. And it's just like in a lot of communities, you know, especially now with the technology, you hear about it. Parents were there immediately. And there was a dad and he knew where his son's classroom was. And there was smoke coming up in front of the glass and he went to the window and he yelled out to his son and he heard his son's voice come back and his son was there in the window and his dad was down below and his dad kept saying, son, jump and I'll catch you. And the little boy said, but daddy, I can't see you. I can't see you through the smoke. You know, that's a lot of what's going on in the world today. We can't see God for all the smoke, for all the trash, for all the fog. But the daddy said, but son, I can see you. And when you jump, I'll catch you. He said, just trust me. I'll catch you. What we need to do in this day and time is believe, based on what we've read in the Word of God, that God will catch us. He will not drop us, but He will hold us tight. I'm going to ask them to play this song. If you're hearing God spoke to you this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to come in because us Christians, we're getting ready. We're getting ready to go be with the Lord. You see, because the future is bright for Christians. And I'm going to give you just a couple of things and I'll be done. The future is bright for Christians because of the promise of salvation. That's a promise. The future is bright for Christians because He said He'd comfort us and He'd help us, and He will. The future is bright for Christians, and I like this one. Matthew 28:20, the latter part of the verse, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, that no matter what I go through, what I face, I will never, ever be alone because my God is with me. I've heard people that did go through war make this comment, there are no non-believers in a foxhole. Can I tell you that Christians are never alone? I don't care where you're at. You can be in a prison cell. You can be in a dungeon. You can, you know, when you study about the children of God, when they were in prison, what they did is they got closer and closer to God because it was just them and God. You're never alone as a Christian. He's with us. And the Bible tells us, and this is comforting, He will come for us. You see, if I don't see the rapture when I die, I am going to be with the Lord. I'm going to see my loved ones that have died that knew the Lord again. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I have a promise that's given to me. My future is bright. The time that it looks the dimmest is when I get like Peter. And I step out on the water. And I take my eyes off the Lord. And all of a sudden I see the storms and the winds and all the troubles. Because I've taken my eyes off the Lord and I've got to looking at all the storms and the winds, I begin to sink. If you're sinking this morning, you know what Peter said? He said, "Lord, save me." Go ahead, if you would, and play the song. If God spoke to your heart and you feel like praying this morning, would you please pray? If you would, please stand to your feet.
He touched me.
Song. Amen. Great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. We just got just a couple of announcements this morning. We are excited that today is the start of Awana. Here's why I'm excited. We have 52 signed up for Awana. That is a blessing, and I believe that God honors our faithfulness. And Bible says in one place, it is